Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Now, the scene here in John chapter 19 is a tragic one. Jesus now, after saying that he thirsted, after saying it is finished, we read that he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Then we have in John's gospel an explanation of what happened to his body. And remember, none of the other gospels go into the detail of what happened after he died on the cross. What did they do with his body? John gives a lot of detail about this to understand this, and it's huge. The impact of this is huge. Remember what's going on. The Jews want his, quote, cursed body, as they viewed it, down off the cross because the hour is getting late. The Sabbath is coming. And we saw the hypocrisy in that, the rigorous observance of the law to keep it when they've murdered in their hearts. So here we are. The soldiers have walked up. And remember what they do. They come up and they go to Pilate, the Jews, and ask if they could break their legs. Because in these crucifixions, it was possible that they could remain hanging there for hours and even days, depending on their condition. So the way to speed up this whole thing, they would take a large hammer or a mallet, and they would walk up to the victims. They would see if they're still breathing. Then they would give deep blows with the hammer to their legs until you heard the bones shatter, causing such shock to the body that they could no longer lift themselves up to get air, and they would be asphyxiated and die. Horrible, horrible torture. Now, we left off yesterday. Pilate gives them permission. They walk up to the first man. Verse 32. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. They were both still living. What a thought. We know that two destinies are here represented right on the cross. It's a powerful imagery. It's a powerful thought. We know that one of these men in the last moment of his life believed the gospel. And what hope that is, if you have a loved one or even you today, if you have not believed, you know, as long as you're still breathing, the Lord may spare your life and you can still come and be saved. But don't delay, because no one knows when their moment will be required of them, their death. But that's figured here in the other person. The other one cursed Jesus. He mocked Jesus. So here's two ends in life. For one, the hammer strikes, and tragically, he falls into hell. For the other, that pain turned into absolute glory. A glory that can't even be talked about in Scripture. It's so wonderful, it can't even be explained in the Scripture. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Today, said Jesus, you'll be with me in paradise. The hammer struck, the pain hit, and then the paradise. You can't help but ask, which person do you represent? Which person are you? So then they turn to Jesus. Verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. You know what moves me about it? It's the hypocrisy here. That's what we talked about yesterday. Let's get the Sabbath in. Let's get it all perfect. And yet they're murdering. They've neglected the weightier issues of the law, justice, mercy, and truth. The soldiers walk up, verse 36, and they see that Jesus is already dead. So they think to themselves, we don't need to break his legs. And then John quotes a scripture in verse 36 to show us that there was a purpose in this. It says, not one of his bones shall be broken. That was taken from Exodus 12. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Now that is amazing. The instructions in Exodus were that in the Passover, the ordinance of the Passover, they would choose a spotless lamb. Each family would care for this lamb. The lamb would be kept in the house for 4 days, from the 10th to the 14th. So they would care for this beautiful lamb. The children would feed it. There would be a sense of bond with the family and the lamb that was to take place. And the parents would teach their children, "This is our Passover lamb. A male lamb without blemish." They would bring it out. At the right moment, the father would take the lamb. They would hold back its neck. And at twilight or dusk, when it's becoming dark, the throat would be split and blood would gush out everywhere, all over the white, pure furor. It was a slaughter. It was a real mess of blood. And the children would ask mom and dad, "Why are you doing this to the lamb? It's so beautiful." They were taught, "This is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord." They were to explain that. "In the day of our deliverance, the Lord instructed us to do this, to take the blood of a pure lamb, put it on the doorposts of our house, both sides. And children, when the angel came that night to destroy the Egyptians for their sins, when they saw the blood of that perfect lamb on the doorpost, death passed over us, and we lived." This is propitiation. This satisfied God's justice and turned away his anger from us. It was a covering for sin. But the Lord doesn't want us to break any of its bones. I wonder if they wondered why. I want you to picture the scene. Several hundred thousand sheep would come through the streets of Jerusalem every Passover. It is just at the heart of this celebration. The Sabbath has come. They have enjoyed the shedding of the blood. And now the Sabbath of the Passover has come. We got to get them off the cross so that we can celebrate and teach our children about the Passover. So let's break his bones. And John is screaming to us, saying they can't break his bones. God won't let them break his bones because he is the Passover lamb. If you're Jewish out there today, you've got to consider this. If you're holding to Judaism and old principles of Judaism, you've got to consider this. Everything is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Everything of the Old Testament, everything of Exodus 12 and the Passover, everything of Isaiah 53 is Jesus Christ. It's amazing what we're seeing. Outside the gate, slaughtered. But the tragedy of a lifetime is that the Jews in that celebration, they've taken by lawless hands the only perfect paschal lamb that is able to save a sinner from death. And yet, at the moment, they are celebrating the very thing, then the very one that they've rejected. Wow, celebrating the very one they rejected. Isn't that something? Now, wrap your minds around it. It's amazing because the Apostle Paul applies this and he says, "For Christ indeed is our Passover. Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." That's what comes out here. They would celebrate after the Passover the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, which spoke of their new life. No more to continue in the old leaven of wickedness. The apostle says, see what we're prone to. Christ is our Passover. And that means the old is gone. The new has come. Keep the feast in sincerity and truth. You see why you confess when I say, see what you confess when you say, "I believe Christ was crucified. I believe he's my Passover lamb." So that when Israel experienced the sparing of their lives by putting the blood on the doorpost, I understand that all showed me what Jesus does to ensure that I'm not cast into hell. His blood covers me. Now, John emphasizes this further. Once his soldiers see that he was dead, instead of breaking his bones, one of them takes a spear and thrusts it right into his side. And this is what we read in verse 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Now, I got stuck on this one. This is an amazing thing here. Some people say it's a miracle. Some people say it's physical. If it's only physical, you have to go in a medical kind of direction with this. And the only thing it could have been was a ruptured heart to cause this. A well-researched paper was written years ago by a medical doctor suggesting the sword struck the pericardial sac in the heart, thereby rupturing it. Psalm 69 says something really interesting. Reproach has broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That is Christ. Their reproaches have ruptured my heart, says the psalmist. It's really moving. But the meaning is not that Jesus had a broken heart as we would understand a broken heart. The miracle direction seems to be right, but you have to stay away from all the strange spiritual applications. The early father said it was the beginning of the sacraments, and how do you see that? I wrestled with this until the other night when it dawned on me. The answer is in John's response. What does he say immediately following this? The soldier strikes it, blood and water comes out. He says, he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth, that you may believe. In fact, he says, the scriptures fulfilled, they shall look in him on whom they've pierced. I saw it, says John. This was such an important moment in all the cross. John saw the piercing and the water and the blood gush out, and it was so significant. He says, I saw it, and I tell you this so that you would believe. That's the key, the water and the blood, all of which is emphasized in Scripture all over the place, are witnesses to what Jesus Christ accomplished. And what is it a witness to? That in Jesus Christ, there is eternal life. And it flows out of him, living water, the blood that covers and brings about full remission of sins, and water that washes and sanctifies you. We're going to come back to this tomorrow and unpack this more. But I want you to think about this today. These are the witnesses that God has given eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. He's the only one there's life in. He gives life. All who come to him, what happens? Out of their hearts flow this living water. They, even though they will die, they shall always live. That is the beauty of this. Believe in Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio, as always, is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you, to encourage you in the gospel, to show you the person and the work of Jesus Christ in all of its glory and fulfillment. These are the words of life. This is the message that changes your soul. We preach this word in season, out of season, at the Linden URC, 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.